Turn, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 18 through 24 responsively. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 through 24. Genesis, of course, is the first book of the Bible. It is the book of beginnings. And notice we're going to read about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 through 24. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. It says, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. You say, you believe people lived that long, preacher? Yes. You say, why? Because God said it. And he died, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 5 and 6 together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is God's hall of heroes, heroes of the faith. And notice verse 5 and 6. Let's read these verses together. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then turn to the book of Jude, the book of Jude. Of course, you can preach through this whole book in just one sermon. Book of Jude, according to some. The book of Jude. Look at verse 14 and 15. We'll read these verses together. All together. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this truth I'm going to pull out of the life of Enoch and apply it to our lives today, and help us, dear God, to rest upon this truth, especially during the difficult times that we face. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Enoch appears just 3 times in the Bible and in only 11 verses. Now, in Genesis, we are told of his birth. We're told he had children. And we're told about his walk with God and how God took him home to be with him. In Hebrews, we are told that he pleased God and that he was translated before his death up into heaven. And then Jude tells us that he preached to the ungodly of his day, warning them of the Lord's coming judgment. Now, Enoch lived prior to the flood that would cover the entire earth. When he was born, Adam was 622 years old, and Adam now had lived long enough to see what his sin of disobedience had done and its devastating effects on the human race. Enoch lived in a corrupt age. The wickedness of man was such that nothing could stop God's judgment from coming. God's spirit was about to cease his striving with men, and God had it recorded in the very next chapter that he repented that he had made man. Society had no restraints. Crime and lawlessness flourished. Immorality was accepted. The unequal yoke in marriage was prolific, and polygamy was met with approval. The thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. And Enoch lived in an age that was racing towards judgment, much like the world in which we live today. Enoch lived in some dark days, but he had a testimony that shined brightly. His name means teacher. And while we can learn numerous things from Enoch, one outstanding lesson we can reap from him is the necessity of having faith in the dark hours. There are or will be dark hours we will all go through. For some, it's going to be financial dark hours. We probably all have ups and downs in our finances. Sometimes they get rather lean. There's going to be physical dark hours. You may go to the doctor and you may get some information that, you know what, you got a fatal disease or your heart's not what it ought to be. You got that cancer. There's going to be something when you go to the doctor that may just set you back a bit. There's going to be family dark hours. There's going to be moments of intense fellowship in your marriage. Perhaps a child's going to stray and go into the far country. There's going to be personal dark hours. You may lose a friend. And there's going to be spiritual dark hours where we wonder, where is the Lord God of Elijah? What we do in those dark hours, we determine whether we are pleasing to God or not. So what is one to do in those dark days? Well, how about doing what Enoch did? And just keep on walking with God. Enoch had a walk of faith. Now we too can walk by faith. But to do that, we must be in the family of God. We must have God as our Father, Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God indwelling in us, heaven as our home, and the Bible as our guidebook. This means we accept God's way on how we are to live, and we say goodbye to this old sinful world. It entails us being in the world, but not of the world, coming out from among them and being separate and separating ourselves unto the Lord, not being spotted all over by the world like a Dalmatian dog, but walking in holiness and saying goodbye to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and saying yes to what the Lord requires of us, and that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. For after all, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch, the seventh man from Adam, did not walk in the way of sinners in his corrupt age. His character and conduct were a rebuke to the godless around him. He was Christ-like in his words, in his actions and attitudes. He in his walk with the Lord lived by faith in what thus saith the Lord. He did not dismiss what God had told him. He didn't think he knew better than his heavenly companion. For he knew he would be led in paths of righteousness. And his word was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. Something desperately needed in these dark times. In his walk of faith, he found himself more weaned from the world and closer to the Lord. You see, when you walk by faith, fear is gone. You know, I've listened to a number of people and I talk to folks, and there seems to be a fear amongst even God's people, which is amazing to me. I wonder, why are we so fearful when we have a book that gives us faith? And if we walk by faith, fear is gone. For are we not told in Genesis 26:24, fear not, for I am with thee? Many find themselves fearful of the dark, fearful in the storms of life. Now, we would all admit that fear is wrong. Yet just because we know it doesn't mean we don't experience it when we're faced with adversity. When things are going well, boy, it's easy to trust the Lord. But when they are not, I wonder how many of us go to fear and go to doubting. When the sun is out and warm breezes at our back, we can easily rejoice. But when the cold north wind blows, so often we get the fearing that the Lord has forsaken us. This is so typical. It's so common that we think it's normal. But not so for one who walks by faith. Was Elijah fearful when the Syrian army surrounded Dothan? Was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were they fearful of the fiery furnace? Was David fearful of Goliath? Was Peter fearful in Herod's prison? Was the prophet Habakkuk fearful when there was nothing to be had? Was Paul fearful of his thorn in the flesh? Should we not heed the words of Jesus that he gave to his disciples and simply have faith in God? When we walk by faith, fear is gone. Because he is with us. Walking by faith means we are in good company. Matter of fact, it's the best company we could ever have. And our desire should always be to have a closer walk with the Lord. Now Enoch, for 300 years, was always in fellowship with God. They enjoyed each other's company. God was a pleasure to Enoch, and Enoch was pleasing to God. Now, a walk of faith means you're going in the right direction. Because God is not going to lead you astray. He keeps you on the straight and narrow and the way you should go, and we will always walk in truth. A walk of faith includes God talking to you and you talking to him, and that will mean that your prayers get answered. In John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. When God has our ear and we have his ear, we know that he plans on answering our requests. When we have a walk of faith, we come to realize that there are some things more important than our physical well-being, our financial welfare, and even losses of close relationships. For it is more important that we be in fellowship with Christ and walk and talk with him daily. It's more important to live righteously so that others know we belong to God. And it's more important to be on praying ground with the Lord. In prayer, we find relief from affliction, from hardship, from sickness. Burdens are lifted. Needs are met, and relationships that were once ruptured can be repaired. A walk of faith is a must if we are to have an effective prayer life. There are several reasons why our prayers are not answered, such as we do not pray. We have sin in our life. We are unforgiving. We ask amiss. We refuse to hear his word, and because we refuse to hear his word, he refuses to hear our prayer. All these hindrances can be taken care of if we would develop a walk of faith. Would not these things be confessed then? Would not that sin be forsaken then? Would not we be walking in the light as he is in the light? When one walks by faith, they know how to commune with God. Live in a manner where he will grant the request. It will not ask anything of him that lies outside his will. They will know the truth of what is written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And those two verses tell us, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When the dark hours come into our life, we need to make sure we're walking by faith. Number two, make sure your decisions in the dark times are always done by faith. We can't always see the end of our decisions, but God does. We don't know what's around the corner, but God does. And so we need to trust that He knows what is best for us. What we want to do may not be what we should do. And we need to stay put till He gives us the guidance and the direction that we need. We all have problems we are faced with, conflicts that plague us, and situations that are unpleasant to deal with. Then we have a tendency to make rash decisions that we will regret later on. Don't you think it was hard on Lot to leave Uncle Abraham? After all, that man cared for him, blessed him, was the spiritual influence that helped him to come to know the Lord. Yet when he made his choice, he did not consult the Lord. And he chose the well-watered plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Things would have turned out so differently for him had he only waited on the Lord's direction. I think of Joseph, who made his decisions by faith in God. And because he did, God used him to save his family. Now you think about it. Joseph taken down to Egypt, and there Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape and has him thrown into prison. Now, when Joseph became prime minister, he could have said, you know what? Vengeance is mine. Now I'm going to get back at that hussy. And I'm going to throw her in prison. I'm going to do unto her as she did unto me. It's going to be even Stephen, buddy. And you know what? Potiphar's got no say-so in the matter. And if he wants to lift his ugly head against me, I'll have it taken off. But he didn't do so. He could have held his brothers in contempt for what they did to him. But he chose to make his decisions by faith in God, despite the hardship other people brought into his life. He could say this later on, talking to his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. You know, He always means it unto our good when we make decisions by faith. Number three, endure your failures by faith in God. You know, we all fall. Should come to no surprise that we all blow it every now and then. We all make wrong judgments. We all make wrong decisions. But when you fail, keep your faith and don't give up on God. Call on Him to help you. Admit you're wrong. Then change your direction and let your failure draw you closer to Him. I've had plenty of failures in my Christian life, but I refuse for them to stop me from living for the Lord. I do my best to learn from them, and hopefully I won't repeat them. I have leaned many times on what is written in Proverbs 24:16. For there it is written, for a just man falleth, what? 7 times and rises up again. Now, if I wrote it, I would have probably wrote a whole lot more times and riseth up again. Did not Abraham fail his test when the famine came? How about Moses when he smote the rock instead of speaking to it? And how about Peter, who found himself warming by the devil's fire, and he denies the Lord 3 times? Failure wasn't final for them, and failure should never be final for any of God's children. listen, the race we are to run is a long one. It is a marathon, not a sprint. There will be times when we get out of our lane. We may stub our toe and even get our eyes off of Jesus on occasion. But that shouldn't disqualify us forever. We can get back on track and we can finish strong. God is willing to pick us up, to dust us off, and help us finish the course before us. So don't quit when things aren't going your way, when you have blown it. For quitters never win, and winners never quit. Endure the hardship of failure, and do so with faith in God. Number four, by faith obey God at all times. At all times. You know, sometimes it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But do as you're told anyways and see if your need isn't met. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, Jesus tells Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they obeyed, the net broke from the great haul of fish that they took in. Suppose Peter was like us. And he would have said something like, you know, Lord, I know these waters. You know, I made my living off of fishing this body of water for years. And now you're asking me to do something that just don't work. And so I think, I'll pass on what you told me to do. How many think he would have been blessed? Would Peter's faith in Christ have been increased? Or would he have fell down and worshiped Jesus as he did? I don't think so. His obedience led to a blessing. What about what took place at the wedding of Canaan? Did they not run out of wine? Which in the Bible, that word there is grape juice. They were in a predicament, don't you think? Did not our Lord tell the servants to fill up the water pots with water? What if they said, they don't need water, they need wine. Wine doesn't come from a well. Why are you going to make us put all that effort into something for nothing? Well, once those water pots were full, Jesus says, draw out now. Draw out from where? The same place that you were drawing out the water. Draw out now, and from that very same well, they drew out wine. The need was met in a miraculous way, but it was predicated on obedience of the servants. And because those servants obeyed, they got to see a miracle. I believe that so many times we don't see God move in a mighty way on our behalf because we fail to obey him. We rely on our experience and what we know. Instead of simply trusting what God has said during those dark times. We leave God totally out of the equation by our lack of faith that is clearly seen by our disobedience. I don't know how many times Connie and I have been in a financial pinch through our Christian life. Not once has anybody else ever know about it. I don't get up here and whine about it. Never have, don't plan on doing it. But we've had some tough times. You say, well, what'd you do? Of course you stopped tithing. Of course you stopped giving to missions. Because it just doesn't make sense. No. We kept on giving. We didn't cut our missions. We didn't cut our tithe. And you know what? God has taken care of us. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, the first time you go through it, it's awful difficult. And then you go back and say, you know what? He did it for us before. He can do it again. But what are you going to do during those dark times, those problems that you face? Are you just going to throw up your hands and say, you know what? I got a better way. I know more than what God does. I know this ain't going to work if I go by faith. It always works. It takes faith to obey in the hard times. And faith to obey what the Lord has told us, even though it makes no sense to us. Number five, we need faith in the promises of God in these dark times. We need to rest on the gracious, holy promises of our God who has never failed to keep his word. And may I remind you that all the promises of God are yea and amen to those in Christ. Since God is faithful to fulfill his promises to us, we should have no fear or doubt that he will. He is our helper. He will never leave us nor forsake us, even in the dark times we find ourselves in. So we need to trust him every step that we take. I have often claimed the phrase from Job when going through a difficult time. And that phrase is, I shall come forth as gold. You see, I want to come out better and not bitter. And like Job, I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. Because you know what? I realize a blessing's coming. And that trial I'm going through is nothing but a blessing in disguise. And God is using that to purify me and make me more of what he wants me to be. I want to get everything I'm supposed to out of that trial. Those trials are simply blessings that will come my way if I remain in those trials by faith in God. He will use them to make me more like Christ. He will use them to draw me closer to him, to keep me humble, to enhance my testimony, make me more sympathetic to others. There are times also when I claim Romans 8:28. That verse tells us, and we know. And we what? Know that all things work together, them who are the called according to his purpose. What a wonderful promise. That is a promise we can claim in these dark times. When we're going through trials and storm clouds are coming. Why don't we claim that promise? God brought that into our life for good. We need to remember God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It's so many when the trials come, they question God's love for them. Well, if God loved me, he wouldn't do that. Really? He loves you enough to do that. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to be more like his son. He loves you enough to work on you. You know, this past year and a couple months, I found it quite hard to lose both of my parents in about a year's time. But you know what made it easy for me? by what is promised to us saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, where it is written, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I have found great comfort that my parents are not lost. They're simply with Jesus. And I'll see them again, either in glory or in the air when Christ comes for his own. You say, you believe it? Yes, I have God's word on it. Then lastly, in those dark times, remember what faith has done for you in the past and continue on by faith. When operating by faith, has God ever failed you in the past? Now, you may have failed him, but he has not failed you. Has he ever broken his word to you? If he has, you'd be the first one. Has he ever been unfaithful? No, he hasn't. And you can count on him, for he never will. I got saved in 1983. I got called to preach a year later. I've pastored here at this church for nearly 30 years. I'm getting up in years. My 70 is rapidly approaching. But for over 42 years now, since coming to Christ, I can honestly say he's been wonderful to me. He's treated me far better than I deserve. I've had prayers that have been answered. Blessings that came down from above that are too many to number. Trials that have come to pass that have made me better. Souls that have been saved because I witnessed to them. And there have been some saints that I have helped along the way. I live most of my life now. And while I pray for his soon return, if he doesn't come first for me, I will have to face death. I lived this long by faith in God, and I believe that I'll do so until my spirit departs this body, or he calls me up in the clouds to meet him in the air. This faith is not only good for living, it will do us well when we are dying. I want to walk by faith like Enoch did. When the days are dark, the times are hard, and the opposition rises against me. When in need, in sickness, in times of financial losses, may my Lord find me and the rest of us here tonight living by faith in those dark hours. At the end of this life, I want to earn that WD degree that will be handed out to those who graduated with honors in the school of faith. I want to hear my Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I believe Enoch will hear that one day. I believe he earned his WD degree. The question is, will you? Well done, thou good and faithful. Even in the dark time. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.